Please keep your Bibles open to Acts chapter 6. We'll be there in just a moment. But I want to speak a little bit about the word that we've been reading about in our one-word study, and that is the word deacon, deacon, or deacons. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "I say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock," the rock of the confession that Peter had just made about Jesus, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, "on the rock of that confession I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And Jesus did build his church, and the church is a perfect institution. It was planned by God, founded by Christ, instructed by the Holy Spirit. However, that church is composed of imperfect people. And if we could be perfect, we wouldn't need the church. So the church is composed of imperfect people. And because we're imperfect people, that's how problems often arise within the church. And problems can be very hurtful. When the source of the problems come from the outside, those are easier to handle because it causes us to band together and as one, as we counteract like persecution that the early Christians suffered so greatly. But when the problems come from within, they're much harder to deal with. They tend to separate us rather than unite us. And problems can arise even when the church is growing. And that's what we find in Acts chapter 6, that the number of the disciples was multiplying, not just growing, but multiplying. So it's just growing by leaps and bounds, we might say, in Acts chapter 6 in this setting. And so because of that exponential growth, there was some neglect that happened, and I believe it must have been unintentional. But there was this issue. The church was growing by leaps and bounds, but it's still composed of imperfect people, and imperfect people tend to overlook some things that need attention. And so here was this issue that was brought before the apostles. But it was good leadership that we'll see that as a result, seven servants were selected to handle the matter. Seven servants, we'll call them. No, they're not called deacons in our text. And that's the word we've been studying. What is a deacon? I like David Roper's summation statement here. Deacons are special servants who meet certain qualifications, who assist the elders, enabling those leaders to fulfill their ministry. The word deacon, diakonos, in the original language, is used in a general way in Scripture. It literally means servant. Hence, we call them seven servants. But it's also used in a specific sense to a special group of men who've met certain qualifications as outlined 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13, and who fulfill certain responsibilities. And when it's used in that sense, it doesn't apply to every Christian, though every Christian should be a diakonos in the sense of a servant. I like to answer the question, how many ministers do you have at Creekwood? Oh, around 300, anywhere from 250 to 300. And they say, wow. And the reason we would answer that way is because each and every one of us need to be servants. Lord, make me a servant, we just sang. We want to serve God by serving others as members of the body of Christ. But deacons, in the specific sense that it's used, refers to a special group. But I like also David Roper's comment. Someone well said that being a deacon is not about an office to be held, but about a work to be done. It is a work of service. And so in Acts chapter 6, they're not referred to as the first deacons, but they're called servants. And the verb form of that Greek term is found in that phrase, serve tables, that we'll see in just a moment. So we can at least say that these seven men did the kind of work that deacons do. And so it's in this text I want us to see some good leadership, how it handled the problem that arose. I want us to see about lessons we learn about being a servant and even the work about deacons specifically. But notice number one, the reason for their selection. Look with me again to verse 1. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So there was some neglect going on. Again, this is in the context of the church is growing by leaps and bounds. And there's this daily distribution of taking care of some widows. And there was a group that was accidentally not taken care of in this daily distribution. And it reminds us that in the church, as the body of Christ, we need to be responsive to the needs of all the members, particularly those who have special needs. In fact, in the Bible, attending the needs of orphans and widows is especially mentioned. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And that word visit not only suggests going to see, but it means going to see about. So taking care of orphans and widows in their difficulties. But as the church is growing here in Acts chapter 6, there's a certain group of widows that was being overlooked. And so that was brought to their attention. It was a complaint against the Hebrews, the scripture says. And that refers to Jewish Christians, Christians who had been Jews. And the complaint is made by this group of Hellenists, or Grecian Jews, some translations stated. And these were Jews of foreign birth and Greek education, and were so called because of their conformity to the Greek way of life. But they're Christians. And so these Grecian widows have been neglected. And so the apostles have to address this situation. They want a peaceful solution, as we always do, to problems within God's family, so that the Lord's work could continue, so there could be harmony and unity and growth. And so we find, number two, the method of their selection. Then the 12 apostles summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve," there's that word, diakoneo, to serve, and to leave the word of God and serve tables. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So here was the method of their selection. The apostles wanted to address this need, but they didn't want to leave their work to do it. And so they said, "Seek out from among you 7 men that meet these qualifications, whom we may appoint over this business." Notice the apostles were in charge. They originated the idea. They directed the selection. They cited the qualifications. They confirmed the appointments. And they involved the whole church in solving this problem among them. And the selection was to be from among their own number, among the Christians, among the church family, that met these qualifications of good reputation, a full of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, you would want men serving in this capacity that bore the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. And we readily see how those qualities, that fruit being born in their lives, would lend them in this matter of service. And they are also to be full of wisdom. There were some hurt feelings here, I'm sure. And so they needed these 7 servants to be full of wisdom, to know how to deal with this situation and to bring about peace in this time of conflict. But the apostles wanted these 7 servants to be selected to appoint over this business, to turn this responsibility over to them. Which leads us to, thirdly, the responsibilities of their selection. The apostle says, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." In other words, the apostle says, we have this work, the work of spreading the word of God, of sharing the gospel. of teaching others about Jesus, of baptizing them into Christ to become a part of God's family. And we don't want to leave that work to address this issue. So therefore, appoint these seven men who meet these qualifications, whom we may appoint over this business. This work was to be given over to these seven servants. They were to handle it, if you will. They were to make sure that these Grecian widows weren't neglected anymore. And so they had the responsibility and the authority to make sure that was done. I want to make this point. How many widows do you think were taken care of during this time? If the church is numbering about 5,000 and it's growing exponentially, how many of those would have been widows that were being taken care of in this daily distribution? Would it be safe to say that there may have been hundreds of widows? I think that's a fair guesstimate. And appointing these seven men over this responsibility, I'm thinking that those seven men didn't just take care of all of it themselves. That those seven men took care of hundreds of widows. I'm thinking they helped organize this effort and included other members of God's family in helping these widows in their time of need. Why do I say that? Why do I point that out? To remind us, it is God's will that each and every member of the family of God be active in service. The elders can't do it all, nor should they. The ministers can't do it all, nor should they. A few can't do it all, nor should they. There is work for every one of us to be engaged in. And that's God's design. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, we find these words. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And it goes on to say, to grow to spiritual maturity. And those are leadership positions, some unique to the first century, apostles and prophets, because they were inspired by God's Spirit. But then there's evangelists, pastors, teachers that would be current even today. And what's the function of these leaders in the church? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, to prepare God's people for works of service. Our leaders do well when we include others in these various ministries. And the goal should be to include everyone, that we all be active in serving God by serving others. That's God's design. So when the apostles say, select seven men that we may appoint over this business, he wasn't saying to give it to them exclusively. I believe that they would be managing it and even including others in this service. But the apostles, we see, whom we may appoint over this business, verse 3, they delegated that responsibility, but also the authority to get it done. Here's a statement that you have heard, I'm sure, perhaps even used, that I think is pertinent here. Everybody's business is whose business? Is nobody's business. The apostles could have adopted that attitude. Well, here's a need. Well, I'm sure it'll be taken care of. We're doing the work of the Lord here. We're trying to teach others about Jesus. I'm sure somebody will step up and it'll be handled. No, that's not the approach they took. Because everybody's business is nobody's business. We can't have that mindset, well, somebody will eventually address this issue. They were proactive here. They didn't just wait for it to be taken care of. They were proactive in seeing that the job was done. And folks, if the job is going to be done, somebody's going to have to do it. That's common sense, isn't it? But let us never think, we see a need that's going on within our church family, well, somebody's going to attend to that. Oh, who's somebody? I'm somebody. You're somebody. And maybe that's an opportunity for you and I to work together to address the needs that certainly do arise. The Apostle Paul, in describing the work of the church, describing it as the body of Christ, likens it to a physical human body. where we have many members, but all have different functions, but all must work together to be an active, growing, unified body. Notice also the importance of their selection here. And it speaks to the priority of the work of the apostles, but also to the necessity of making sure these other matters got addressed. I love the statement here, but we will give ourselves, the apostles say, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles are saying, we're going to focus on that work, to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We understand how crucial it would be for the apostles to continue to proclaim Jesus, so that others could hear the message of Jesus and be saved from their sins. And so they weren't going to leave that work to address this issue. As Paul would say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. That message had to be continually communicated. And so the apostles are saying, we're not going to leave that to address this issue. It's too important. But don't miss this. We're not going to leave the ministry of the word. We're not going to leave this opportunity to give ourselves continually to prayer. I want you to underscore that. We're going to keep praying. How fundamentally important is it for prayer, for our leaders to pray? I love this statement by C. Bruce White. The leadership of any church can accomplish more for its membership with prayer than with legislation. May we be continually reminded of the importance of prayer. The apostle said, we're devoting ourselves, we're giving ourselves continually to the ministry of the word, to proclaiming the gospel, but also to prayer. And we cannot leave those things to address this issue. As a parallel, it reminds us of the work of our elders. Their first work is to shepherd the flock. And there's a lot of things that are entailed in that. And elders cannot afford to become so involved in doing that which is urgent that they fail to do that which is important. So it reveals God's wisdom that the elders have their work, the evangelists have their work, but we all have a part in the work of the church to make sure that needs are addressed, that the work of the church continues, that souls are saved, and that souls are active in serving God within the context of the local church. Notice finally the results of their selection. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, I probably butchered their names, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So here are the seven that were selected by the church at large that met these qualifications that would then devote themselves to this service. But what were the results of this selection? The church was pleased with the idea. They approved of the solutions. The church was involved in the process. They, in fact, selected the seven men who fit these qualifications that the apostles had outlined. The work was delegated. The apostles could devote themselves to the ministry of the word and to prayer while these Grecian widows were being helped. The need was met. Here's some great lessons for problem solving. Effective leaders see what needs to be done. Effective leaders make plans for meeting those needs. Effective leaders will inspire others to the work. And effective leaders will see that the job gets done. We see all that taking place as this problem has arisen, but it's addressed and it's met by effective leadership. Nick Hamilton wrote these words, "The unity and happiness of the early church was restored. The people were pleased because their needs were met, because they had a hand in solving a difficult problem, because of the trust placed in them, and because the church kept on growing. And that's the point I want to end with. Verse 7. Out of the outgrowth of this problem, this complaint that's arisen, and the apostles addressing it and involving the church in meeting the need, what was the result? Verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. What was the result? When this problem was addressed and solved with effective leadership and by willing servants, the church continued to grow. Not just grow, but grow by leaps and bounds. And grow to the point where even priests who had been teaching a whole different religion, they heard the gospel, they evaluated it, they embraced it, and they too became obedient to the faith. That's what happens when the church works together, when servants serve, and yes, when elders are elders, when deacons are deacons, when all of us saints are servants seeking to do the work of God by teaching others about Jesus and then by helping one another within God's family grow as God desires for us to do. What's the takeaway? It's a great work, the work of our deacons. There are 14 listed on the front of our bulletin. They're involved in various ministries. We need to commend them, support them, and help them. It's not their work to do by themselves. It's a work that they're heading up. But we need to cooperate with them and help them in completing the work that God has called us to do. But don't miss the general use of this term. We're all to be servants. We're all to be ministers. Because that's what God has called us to be. Lord, make us servants. Make us like you. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, perhaps you're ready to obey the gospel as those priests that we just read about did. They surrendered their lives. They acknowledged Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they turned from sin. They turned from their ways that were not going in the direction of Christ. And they made that commitment to follow Him. They were obedient to the faith, meaning they were baptized into Christ so their sins could be washed away by the blood of Jesus. And then they began to serve Christ as Christians are called to do. It may be that as a child of God, you've wandered away and it's your desire to come back home, seeking God's forgiveness, seeking the prayers of the church to that end. Or you may have some other request that you want to bring before the church and ask the church to pray with you and for you. If that be the case, please come right now as we stand and sing.